Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, this is your host, Ann Revel Petcher, live on Wireless Connections. We're here in the studio today with our producer, Reed Powell.
Hello, Ann.
I love sharing a mic with Reed Powell. You know what that means? We've got a huge guest list today, which I love, a nice full studio. This is a show that is sponsored by our friends over the Wireless Research Center. I want to welcome Larry Stefan. Hello, Larry.
How you doing, Ann?
I'm great. Glad to be back on the air again. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Jerry Hayes. Our other guests in the studio today are all here to talk about the Internet of Things, as we are in the center of the Internet of Things, right here in what I would normally call the triangle, but Larry likes to call the quadrangle. Is that correct?
The rectangle.
Oh, it's a rectangle.
It's a stretched
triangle.
Not
a quadrangle. Okay.
Don't forget Wake Forest.
David Houghton with Bright Wolf. Hello, David, and welcome back into the studio.
Greetings. Thank you.
And we also have with us today Integral Systems. We have Booth Kalmbach, who's the CEO. Hello, Booth.
Hello. Good morning.
Good thing to have you here. And we also have Mark Gemberling, the Vice President of Marketing and Sales. Hello, Mark.
Hey, good morning. Great to be here.
It's great to have you guys here. I really want to help everybody get to know what Ontrickle is and what you guys do. My understanding is that you do RFID, so essentially tracking devices, tracking. What are you tracking?
Things, of course.
All things.
So Integral is a software company, and we produce software that is targeted at large companies to track their, really, many of their things that they use in their production capacity. We focus a lot on manufacturers, and we track raw materials, we track capital assets, we track the things that make a business work, and then we combine that together into the mission-critical workflows that companies deploy in their day-to-day business.
So how does a software company work with RFID? Where's that enter?
So the RFID part of it is a tagging technology, or what we would call an auto identification technology. Instead of having a barcode with a person pulling a trigger, we have a live tag that's attached to a thing, a piece of inventory, or even a person, or a tool being used. And then we can find that tag wirelessly through the RFID technology. So then we have that piece of tag being identified, having identified itself, that gets combined into the process. And we'll often identify, you know, tens of things at once, hundreds of things at once. And in a typical installation, we're trying to track many, many, many tens of thousands of things.
Oh, cool. So Mark, tell us a little bit about the market segments that you serve.
Sure. And just to elaborate a little bit about what Booth was saying about, you know, being a software company, RFID company, I would also take it up a level to the fact that we're a solution provider, right? We're trying to solve problems as it pertains to things or items moving within through a process. Mm-hmm. Our market segment, specifically to your question that we're focused on, is in the manufacturing area and related sectors. It's really about trying to make items. I use the term aware. Or able to collect data from items that typically aren't able to provide data or information, collect data and then through our software provide analytics and provide information about tracking in terms of where these items are, where they should be, who last touched them, and so forth. Again, most of our market right now is focused in the manufacturing area, as well as the supply chain as it relates to that.
So this is all about workflow. This is about figuring out how to make workflow more efficient?
That's correct. And it's about how to make workflow more efficient, and then also how to make those items in that workflow more aware to their processes and the processes aware of them.
Interesting. You guys have a really interesting background. You've been around for a while as a different company name and then reacquired and reshuffled. And tell us about that. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, it's really a singular journey. We started as a company focused on the Internet of Things. And that was 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago. We really didn't know it was the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. That was not a term of art. That term really emerged over the last 3-4 years. But we saw many years ago the need for tracking these things, connecting the things to the beings, as is often said. And we talked with about the ideas of computers getting ever smaller and smaller. And then the question is, what would you do in a tracking application with things that were very, very powerful, that had always were connected to the Internet and were customizable, able to support custom workflows? So those were the problems we started solving. We renamed the company because we needed a short, quick name that would work on the Internet uh-huh. as a domain name. And that was a few years ago. And then we've remained really singularly focused on this tracking of assets, tracking of things.
And how's your growth been?
We've started out as a small company, self-funded, or okay. really customer-funded. So over the last many years, the vast majority of our revenues have come from customers, so customer projects. We are very, very, very customer-focused and remain very customer-focused. We've recently begun to expand and grow as the Internet of Things right. has taken a lot of steam.
Right. I'm sure you're seeing a lot more people come to you to ask about it than you used to have to try to constantly educate. Is that correct?
There's an ecosystem or an established channel in the automated data collection
okay.
and barcode. And Mark can talk a little bit about how we use or leverage that ecosystem.
Yeah, so there's a lot of companies out there that have provided services, hardware support as it pertains to RFID technology. Mm-hmm. So we're obviously leveraging those types of companies. But what's really interesting right now is as we all know, the messaging around the Internet of Things. It really is we really provide an application specific to the Internet of Things, and it really helps me as a marketing person for the organization to help define what we do. And as we continue to get the message of the Internet of Things out there, and as more and more articles are being written and more people becoming aware of what the Internet of Things not only is, but what it can do for them, it's bringing them more to us, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
Like you said, we're getting more interest in the organization and the company based on the fact that we are an Internet of Things company and we have an application that can help, you know, improve workflow.
Sure. Do you sell directly or through resellers?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, we sell directly. We also are developing and have several partners that we sell through resellers as an independent software vendor.
Okay.
So we're doing both. And really, as we look at our organization becoming very scalable and growing at the rates that we would like to grow at and that we've defined in our plans, we really have to rely on a reseller network.
Yeah.
We'll be able to provide both software as well as services to these organizations that maybe aren't as familiar with RFID technologies or other sensor technologies that can help improve those workflows. They may be, and typically the companies that we're working with are, you know, barcode type of companies
okay.
that have done barcode integrations,
right.
and we're helping to elevate their game.
So they're used to scanning instead of tagging.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
So do you offer the whole solution? Do you sell them the tags as well and install? How does this work?
That really depends on what the customer wants.
Okay.
Very customer focused. If we have a partner in the sale with us,
mm-hmm.
then they will often take the hardware.
Okay.
You're thinking of tags as hardware, and there are other devices that go on premise to read the tags, and they'll take that component, we'll take the software component. There's almost always, really always, a customization component as well. And again, that can be performed by the partner or by us. At this point in time, we're typically providing the customization services. We would like that ratio to change over time.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and as you see it, there's four major components of a solution that are offered to a customer, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is being hardware, as it may be a reader or some type of device that's going to read information from the sensor.
Okay.
There's obviously tags
mm-hmm.
or sensors, whatever they may be, whether it's barcode, RFID, or some other form of sensor. Then there's the services associated with that. not only the services to implement it, but the services to make sure that you can identify the true problem and how to improve it. So really about process improvement and those services. And then last, the software.
Sure.
And I say last, but that, of course, that's first.
That's the most important thing, right?
That's right.
What market segments do you guys handle?
The predominantly manufacturing, but I think the point to make is it's a broad application. We focus on manufacturing because that's where we get the biggest return on investment for deploying the technology. But we also readily work with related sectors in supply chain and other forms of manufacturing. You may think of it as discrete manufacturing or process or a batch. And so there are different types of manufacturing. And then the RFID technology has broad application even in retail. We don't do a lot of work with retail.
As an old manufacturing guy here, one of the insights or one of the aha moments in my life when I was managing manufacturing companies is that every part on the floor, every part in the warehouse, every part on a piece of final goods, whatever it may be, is one word, cash.
Right.
And managing that cash and looking at it as cash was critical to me, whether I was a startup manufacturing company or high-volume manufacturing company.
Right.
How can you kind of relate that to some of your customers who are thinking, well, I'm too small for this, or it's too late for me to do this? How do you address that type of situation?
Well, most of our focus is on larger customers with larger problems that fit better into our time and our ability to service their particular needs. So I'd state that maybe small customers are more focused on, for example, barcode tracking. They should stay there. Larger customers are very focused on improving incrementally their existing processes and changing or improving those processes. So I can give you a couple of examples. We've got a customer, ATK, which is a gunpowder manufacturer, one of the largest in the country. They obviously have had a process that's been underway for many, many years. We're involved in that process for a couple of reasons. One is we want to catch certain exceptions. If they are shipping drums of gunpowder to the wrong location, that's expensive for lots of reasons. We can catch that on the fly and keep that truck from leaving the dock. Another thing we're looking for is improving the process itself. In their particular case, it's a matter of getting better weights and associating those weights with the certain drums that are tagged so that we can tally all that up mid-shift and end of shift and understand better how their batch processing is proceeding.
Are you delivering this information in some sort of portal to the customers so they can see the different locations of all these materials?
Yeah, that particular portal is our software system running and understanding each of their locations and then tracking the sensor cloud, tracking the cloud of things that are on-premise, on the floor, in the truck, in the magazine in this particular case.
Does your portal translate it to cash costs and carrying costs of all these different items?
That's a good question. Usually that's the domain of a manufacturing resource system. So we really focus more on the capture, auto ID and capture side of things, and a little less on the accounting side of things. But the two blend together really very much.
So it's pulled into ERP.
MRP.
Okay, for access, okay.
Right.
So I would love to expand this discussion into the region a little bit more. Let me open up the mic there for David Houghton over at Bright Wolf. David, tell us a little bit about how your data collection works with the Internet of Things.
Sure, thank you. So Bright Wolf is an application development and deployment platform, and we work beyond just RFID. It's far broader in terms of what IoT focuses on, which has specific needs, and there's lots of technologies out there. What Bright Wolf does is we connect to those edge devices, capture that information often in real time over a wireless, cellular, or Wi-Fi connection, capture the information, run the analytics, provide the alerts, the updates, the actions, and then also update that information into the enterprise back end. And that's usually the application, which is the extension from the enterprise out to the edge where we play. It's almost like middleware, but we're software only. There's a device component to this, and then the sensors that go in the devices and the data capture. We help build that application, and that application has a technological component that we can help with, and we have all the pieces in place with our platform to allow that to scale and meet the needs. However, what we don't bring to the table is the requisite domain experience associated with a particular industry, mm-hmm. and we rely on the clients or consultants to bring that type of information, partnering with them. And that's one of the key and the fundamental criteria associated with developing a system that's successful is having that domain experience to shape the application.
Sure. Tell us about the kinds of companies you work with.
So on one end of the spectrum, we work with refrigerated trailers. Mm. And as they depart and are on the road, we can help monitor and manage the temperature in the trailer, whether the doors have been unlocked, whether it's GPS-wise following the proper track, if things have happened, etc. And that's important. If you've got $1 million worth of ground beef in the back of a trailer and it's got to get from point A to point B and too much time goes by and you're concerned about it getting distributed to the stores, that's an issue. If the doors have been unlocked from regulatory perspectives, now someone potentially has tampered this, do you want to display that in your stores, or do you actually back off? Things like that actually allow you to meet regulatory requirements and actually reduce insurance costs. So that's one example. Another example is we provide a social media and security application for motorcycles.
Hmm.
So folks riding a motorcycle may want to make sure they have the security associated with it, but also providing social updates, social media updates in terms
onto
of...
onto their bikes?
Well, from their bikes or their mobile phone up to the internet to let people know this is where we're driving, this is how we've traversed, here's how long it took, here the people are with us, etc.
But we're not going to let them text while they're trying to ride their Harley. Please. Please. I mean, no, it's hard enough in a big, fat SUV.
Yeah, that's right. That's a bit of an IQ test. We would hope they're not flunking that. So we work in those types of spaces, and we're actually talking with a medical device company right now who's looking to essentially take what are dumb devices and make them smart and start to capture maintenance information on that, as well as capture clinical data.
That's great. What are you seeing in terms of the region? Everybody here has been working in the Internet of Things for quite a bit of time, and are you seeing the region grow as a center of the Internet of Things, or are we just constantly saying that because it's fun?
Well, there was a very interesting news article just recently about a project that won a large grant, a $300,000 grant at NCSU, mm-hmm. About improving the efficiency of RFID tags, and I think that is... that points very well to a lot of the work that's going on in the Triangle. We have a center of hardware competency, device, and read that as device competency, and we have a center of software competency.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in years past, actually, the Triangle was an RFID center, and I think that's translating over to IoT right now.
I think it's worth noting, just amplifying what Booth said, is there's critical mass in this area associated with device hardware technology and with folks doing software. And that's generating an ecosystem of partners that can deliver an end-to-end solution. Mm. There's not a lot of folks who can actually put the entire package together. It requires a lot of players. But that critical mass resides here. And I think the Raleigh-Durham area is uniquely positioned in the country.
Yeah, we've got the wireless, the hardware, and the software all connected. And mm-hmm.
The Raleigh-Durham Wake Forest area.
That's correct.
RDWFU.
or the rectangle, right? As we like to call it up here.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you see coming out of the Wireless Center. I realize that the partnering is really important. And, you know, we sit around the table today, obviously, with a group of partners. But what kinds of partnerships are you guys seeing?
We see a lot of partnerships between the individual companies, the device focused companies, and then the software companies that deploy those devices to create ROI with customer accounts. So mm-hmm. we seek to form a bridge between a customer account and the device companies.
You mentioned that we are an area that's known for the device.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you turn to as a device company in our area?
There are several companies. Actually, interestingly, the large phone companies seeded this years ago. So we had the Sony Ericsson mm-hmm. joint venture that was here. And it ultimately, I guess it kind of broke apart a little bit in the face of some of the competition. But the engineers stayed.
Right.
All of them. Both the software side and the hardware side. So that's provided a great number of very knowledgeable resources and folks, some of whom have started their own businesses, some of whom are working in other endeavors.
Which is interesting because it means you have the expertise, but you also have the connections, mm-hmm. right? These people all have the connections to the remote locations that are manufacturing the devices.
Mm-hmm. In our universe, we see a lot of factory floor automation having redundant networks, mm-hmm. one being a fixed wireless or a public wireless network like a Verizon or AT&T, and one having their own backhaul / LAN network. Is that what you're seeing as far as access to the data?
In our case, access to the data is sort of the last 3 meters, if you wish. One way to distinguish what Integral is doing and the types of workflows that we solve is under the roof versus under the sky. And I think David can speak to that a little bit also. We tend to focus on under the roof technologies. I would say exclusively, but that's just the way the technologies play out. So if we're using tags that have to be, you know, $1 or $1.20 in order to get enough things tagged to make the application work, to generate the ROI,
right.
then we're using batteryless tags. So now we're dealing with the last 3 meters as a wireless technology. So we tend to focus less on the backhaul and more on the forehaul.
Okay. Makes sense. David, you want to answer that?
Yeah. Maybe? One question. We talked about tracking inventory and things of that nature. But there's also an opportunity cost of not having access to particular tools and things of that nature. And I would submit to you that's probably a place where you guys may play as well, yeah?
Thank you for asking that question, David. We like to think we tag everything, whatever is really appropriate to the particular workflow. So if I have labor that's important for costing purposes, I can track that, and I can associate that with sub-assemblies that are moving through. I can get a very, very good idea of who's spending what time on what, and then I can also track the pedigree of the assemblies for all the way from raw material to finished goods. So that will include tagging equipment that is in proximity to the things, you know, as well as the labor.
Obviously, there's a business case to justify this. Do you work with the client to produce those business cases?
Mark, I'll pitch that one to you.
Yes, we do. And a lot of times we're working with a partner as well to do that. And it's really not about the cost, as you were talking about, you know, cash. You know, you see an item on the floor, whether it's inventory or it's equipment or it's an asset or it's something somebody needs. It's not about the cost of that item. It's the value that that item brings, right? So it's the value that that item brings to a specific process to produce, to save money, to improve quality, whatever that may be. So we do track all these things, and we associate these things together so that we can help improve that process as well. So, and that's really what our software Traxware does is make that association. So then we can make the users can make the right decisions.
Right, right. We wrestle with that as well with some of our clients. RFID's been around for a while, mm-hmm. and so if you will, under the roof automation continues to expand, but that's a topic that's existed for a while. As the IoT moves into the, what was the other term you
under
used?
Under the sky.
Under the sky, right, under the sun. Those are broader discussions that folks are wrestling with right now. And so we like to, in terms of framing the concept, get our clients to start to think about, well, what's the end objective you're looking for? Are you looking to save costs? Are you looking to reduce risks? Or are you looking for new revenue streams? And based on that, then, what's your existing estate or portfolio of sensor information and data that you have? And based on that, what new information or new data would you need then to answer some of the questions you're trying to generate? And that will then inform the type of system we're working with.
Yeah, and David, I think, you know, the example you brought up before about the truck and monitoring, if you will, the cold chain, right? That's a great example. And it's a great example, I think, is pulling a lot of the things we've been talking about here today together in terms of collaboration and Raleigh being a great center or the triangle or the quadrangle, including
rectangle.
The rectangle, bringing in, Wake Forest. Is that type of opportunity, it's not only about tracking the sensors that are on the truck and where it's arriving and what's happening in the truck. Well, what about the things in there? Are they supposed to be there? Let's make them part of this system, if you will, and provide that solution to the end user. What about the individual item? Did that specific item go above or below a certain temperature, right? Is it supposed to be here or is it supposed to be on another truck? These are the types of things I think as we work together that we can help solve these problems for customers.
Clearly. Obviously, that makes sense when you have high-value items, but as we see technology continue to increase in capabilities and shrink in terms of cost and size, well, I think we'll see more and more tracking happening at the item level.
A lot of our focus, interestingly, is on the new workflows that the technologies enable. So when, for example, we were working with active sensors that cost $80 or $120 a sensor, typically battery-powered, you know, you can only track certain things with that. When the sensors fall to an order of magnitude less, all of a sudden I have new use cases that emerge. And now we're seeing, you know, for example, RFID tags in the 6 cent range, even falling down to within a couple of years, 2-3 cents. And that enables another whole set of use cases. All of a sudden it's affordable to track more and more and more stuff. And, you know, therefore the Internet of Things.
Are there other technologies that are coming into play outside of, well, there was NFC for a long time that was really hot, and then RFID. What else are you seeing out there?
Well, the decrease in the cost of, well, we would draw a distinction between active devices that are battery powered and passive devices that are not. There tends to be an order of magnitude difference in price between the two. But as the active devices, A, fall in price, and B, become more standardized, then our ability to deploy them on really massive scales changes. So much of the thinking of the technology in the market right now, really forward thinking, is not how do we manage tens of thousands or many tens of thousands of things, which we do now, but how do we really manage many millions of things in an enterprise? What does that mean for an enterprise, and how is it going to deploy that? How is it going to remain secure when I've got all these things chirping away? And how is it going to use that in ways that its employees, its people, its beings can derive from the things?
So when you're putting a system in place, who are your partners on the floor? If you, for example, don't go to the backhaul equation, do you need obviously people on the floor that have to work with your RFID systems?
Yeah, there are. RFID is a well-established technology. This year there will be 6.5 billion with a B RFID tags actually consumed from sand to sand. And that creates an infrastructure that we leverage substantially. Most of those tags are being consumed in the retail industry. Mm-hmm. So they're going on high-end sweaters and on cases of high-end goods coming into retail establishments. We're on the manufacturing side really leveraging exactly that same technology. It's leveraging the infrastructure. So I'll go call on one of the infrastructure players when I need to install, 100 readers to manage car lots across the country or something like that. And I don't have to do that myself. And that's a big deal because now I've got teams that are working together with each other.
Are you guys active in the military space, like with logistics and all the Camp Lejeune and Fort Bragg?
We just really have focused more on enterprise, not for any real good reason. That's just where our heritage is, and we know how to sell to big companies.
Because there's a very parallel effort going on there, tracking military assets.
We would like to do more of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why would a CEO buy your product?
CEO mainly buys the product to save money. That's the way it works right now. So we're looking at ways of improving the process or even redesigning the process. Sometimes Integral gets involved to sprinkle a little bit of RFID pixie dust and really end up re-engineering a process to make it far more efficient. Some of the ROIs we can achieve are really phenomenal when we hit the sweet spot. And that's what the CEO wants. That's what the manufacturing execs want.
Mark, what is the typical window on the ROI of this project?
So it varies quite a bit, and primarily because it's about what you're tracking. I have a customer that I'm working with right now. He wants to track metal containers. Sounds simple, right? And doesn't sound like it would be a real costly problem of losing metal containers. But he sends them out to his vendors who supply him back parts. And he's got about 20,000 of these metal containers. Very simple. He wants to track these things because he loses 2,000 of them a year.
These aren't like shipping containers.
Not that size. Not that size. They're smaller. They're 4x4x4.
Okay.
And they're for internal use only, and they're being used to provide parts back and forth. They have 2,000 of them that they lose a year. Well, they cost $500 to make.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm struggling sometimes. The ROI is very clear, right? But they just can't move on it right away. And we can save them. I am confident we can save them half that with just by implementing a system that is only working half as good as it needs to, right? it's a pretty powerful statement for some of these organizations. Other companies, the ROI tends to be a little longer term, mm-hmm. because as you fix the process, right, you're starting to see some of the returns in quality and improved output, right? So it's a little longer ROI. We also see ROI in terms of reduced labor. Mm-hmm. And not so much reducing the labor, but reallocation of the labor,
sure.
right? They're spending so much time looking for things, right, that they shouldn't be. They should be doing something else like producing a product. So that's where we typically see an ROI.
And what is your typical business model with the customer?
So specifically, what do you mean?
Well, are you doing a revenue share? Are you benefiting from the cost reduction? How do you sell by pieces by services?
I really want to do that with this one company that's tracking those metal containers. Right, he's losing $1 million a year, and I want to just say, hey, just pay me, just give me that
half
for 2 years.
Savings, right.
That'll be good, right? No, typically, so we have two models typically that we're looking at right now, but none of it is really in terms of sharing of benefit. Right.
Okay.
Our goal is to have the customer, gain all the benefit themselves, if you will.
David, do you mind answering that question? What is your business model? How do you operate between you and your customer and yourself?
Great question. First, the challenge is we don't offer a total solution, and not many do, because a total solution includes integration of hardware. It includes a network. It includes the software. It may even include the back end. And we're the platform in between. And so typically we'll have to partner with somebody. Our business model then is we'll set up an arrangement where we can license the software or do a revenue share, and then we'll develop the application on behalf of the client, which would be for a fee. And then over time we can share in the revenues associated with the monthly recurring revenue. But just to amplify this, one of the things I think is unique about Integral is I think I've heard you guys talk about you would provide a total end-to-end solution. In other words, a single neck to choke for the client, which is something they're looking for. It's difficult.
That one scares me, but I know
it's
what you're
difficult.
Saying.
Who do they call when they want to choke a neck? What?
That usually comes right to me.
But frankly, if you're a client, if I'm a CIO, it's difficult for me to rely on 3 or 4 vendors to come in to put together a holistic solution, mm-hmm. and struggle with that coming together. And so if I have a company who's going to bear that risk and work with me directly, that I can allow that to have that all funnel through, it dramatically reduces some of the risk and gives me a place to go to when I do have issues. And I think that's a space for you guys that you're working on, which is pretty powerful.
Right. And right now for us, as we try to grow this business, it's really becoming that trusted advisor that we can grow as an organization, get the messages out so we can be that trusted person that someone comes to do that. Now, whether we're providing that directly to an end user or through one of our resellers, is fine with us. And typically when we work with our resellers, they're really great at doing some process improvement, but typically not at the level that we're able to provide from a technology and software and solution, from a solutions perspective.
For both of you, when you're selling directly as opposed to going through a reseller, how do people find you? What's is there a market out there that's really bubbling up where there's a marketplace?
We talked a little bit about, in our industry, AIDC, auto identification and data capture, originally the barcode business. Mm-hmm. That's a gigantic business. And so the relationships in the ecosystem are well established.
Okay, good.
And we rely a lot on that. So we get a majority of our big leads, not all of them, but a majority of the big ones through trusted partners that may be the OEM manufacturers of either the equipment, mm-hmm. or the tags, or they may be VARs in the field who just need help putting a deal together. And then increasingly, and a lot of this is based on Mark's effort, we are nurturing our own leads and following up directly. And for a company like ours to be successful in a big way, you do need a value-added reseller network.
Right.
There's a word in the industry.
The VAR.
The VAR. And we're working on that very aggressively right now. You ultimately have to go to the VARs and say, you know, here's a project for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a gold brick, right? As opposed to expecting the VARs to come to you.
Sure. What about you, David? How are people finding you?
To date, our success has come through white labeling opportunities where an OEM or somebody, an integrator, has said, we need your software to help us put together a new service that we'd like to bring to market. And we've had some success and have some national rollouts that have worked very well for the company. However, the end users actually aren't aware of BrightWolf.
Sure.
We're in the background. And so we've now added a direct element to the company, that would be me, to begin to shine a light on who the company is and see if we can begin to move upstream and get some more exposure in the market. And we're having some success. We're beginning to generate some dialogues. We have an interesting story to tell, the fact that we have virtually an unknown company and an unknown name, and the fact that we have these national deployments. So it's been productive, and I'm pretty encouraged about the successes to date.
Yeah, it's great.
If I could ask one more manufacturing question, that's I can't stop cutting my teeth on manufacturing, but you know, running many, many different MRP systems in my life, and the critical piece of data that has to be correct and often is not correct is the initial data of the asset. And I would think that just the application of integral technology increases the accuracy of that data off the floor in an exponential fashion. Do you guys strategize or partner with the MRP providers?
We do. MRP, manufacturing resource planning, is what MRP means. And
thank you.
We do work a lot with MRP companies. Usually, our very first objective is, we just call it a tagging objective. We got to go figure out how to tag all this stuff. So therefore, we have to get to know it and how it's going to behave and how it's going to flow. And the way we approach it is usually different than the customer approaches it. So we start gleaning information from their work process very early. We'll spend, you know, a month or two sometimes tagging everything and then blending those tagged things into the workflow. And you've got to, MRP-wise, bring it in continuously, because they can't stop manufacturing. That's one of the big challenges.
Right.
You can't ever stop.
Right. But there's a word in the industry that is horrific, right? It's called obsolete inventory.
Right.
How do you help with that? How do you let people know that obsolete inventory or that bone pile, which is an accumulation of devices not going through the factory floor, or inventory that's no longer been designed in, and even some of the, you know, that is creating a tremendous burden on the cash of the company.
Now, that's a very good question. One of our, you know, to speak of company objectives, one of our company objectives is to get further into the data analytics side of it, or really to partner with companies that can help us with that. And when we capture information on a thing, I mean, it is that particular thing. That's one of the big deals about this auto ID technology, is I know that it's that thing that I saw at that particular time. And so that goes in the database. So there's a big analytics or data mining opportunity to answer those types of questions. And those are really follow-on services.
Well, and I like your question, because I think I'm going to go back and think about this, because I think that putting some type of information talking about that value to our end users is important, because we can provide and help solve that problem, because we're going to track how long you've had that, right? So you talk about obsolete inventory. Something gets put on a shelf and I forget about it, or I bought too much of it because I thought I needed too much. And with the ability to track the inventory and track assets and track processes, you can, you know, be more predictive to the products you need, and you can know where things are and how much you have of them. Right?
Absolutely.
So that getting rid of that obsolete inventory. So I think we've got some good messaging. I'll bring it back to the office and have you write that up.
In my universe, there's always hills and valleys, right?
Yeah.
And if the valley is deep and you have your cash tied up in inventory, then you can't carry that gap. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do is always keep as much of that cash, not in inventory, but in the bank. Yeah. And that's how I kind of look at the universe.
That
I look at the universe here.
That's important.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it? People say, oh, I shouldn't have ordered that. And now we have a payroll discussion. And if I had $100,000 in cash in the bank versus in the inventory, I could pay my payroll.
Yeah. Right.
These are real things that happen all mm-hmm. the time in manufacturing and operation. So I can't help but be an operations guy. I'm sorry.
So I want to challenge each of you to think for a second about where, when you're back on the show a year from now, what's the company look like then? How different is this? And when you wrap that up, tell people how they can help you get there because they need to come and buy your services. So, David, why don't we start with you? What's Bright Wolf look like in a year?
Oh, beautiful. in a year, Bright Wolf has brand recognition in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledged as providing the glue that allows edge devices integrate with back end ERP systems, which is essentially the next generation of MRP systems, so the SAPs of the world.
Right.
We're recognized as domain experts with mm-hmm. respect to IoT, and people will use our product both in a white label form as well as base application as well.
Sure. Yeah. Great. And what if they want to get moving on that right now?
Call me.
How do they do that?
Call me. 469-628-4676.
Do that a little bit more slowly sure. for those of us who just got our pens out.
All right. David Houghton, Bright Wolf, 469-628-4676. We also have a website.
That's a good thing.
Which would be www.brightwolf.com. Thank you.
That's great. Is it bright-wolf?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Sorry.
Bright-wolf.com.
Details.
Details. Yeah, you'll never get there without that hyphen. That's why I have one. And Booth and Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you think your company's going to be there in about a year?
Well, if I had my best druthers, I would say I would like Integral to be highly recognized in the phase 3 of the IoT. So we think of phase 1 as been around for quite some time with devices communicating to the cloud, really streaming up.
Mm-hmm.
Then here recently, we've had an emergence of a phase 2 with things like thermostats and Fitbits.
Consumer applications.
A lot of it's consumer, some of it's not. I mean, David's very involved in the non-consumer mm-hmm. side of that as well. These tend to be, however, more fixed function devices. So they're designed to do a single thing. It may be even burned into the device itself. Can only do one thing. What we think of as phase 3 is an autonomous operation of the edge of the network. This is what enterprises need. They need devices that can be reconfigured to provide this sensor input, to provide this interface with people. And that's what Integral is really about. So this will involve, for us, a substantial additional investment in our TraxWare software platform. So we'll be hiring developers, and we'll be hiring sales folks to sell it.
Excellent. So, Mark, if they actually want to buy this right now, how do they do that?
Well, right now, just to comment and elaborate to your original question about where do I want to be in a year, I want to simplify what Booth just said and say when somebody wants to buy some asset tracking stuff and they want to track stuff, call me.
Okay.
Right? That's it. But anyway, they can reach us at integral.com, and that's Entigral.com, or at 919-787-5885. And my direct extension is 203, and I'd love to hear that you heard about us on this cast
Business
as well.
Radio
That'd
X.
be fantastic.
That'd be fabulous,
yes.
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Larry and Jerry, what are we seeing going on with the Wireless Research Center in the next year, and how are you going to play in the Internet of Things?
We're going to play. We're going to play a lot. Hopefully, we're going to bring the assets of the area together, and we could be the facilitator of some of this conversation and actually help execute this conversation. One of our mechanics of making sure that we understand the assets here, and this is what we're going to focus on 2015, is that we're going to focus on the NC Riot, right, which is North Carolina Regional Internet of Things. And we're going to do that focused in the triangle, but we're also going to bring it around the entire state because this is a great environment for some of this growth. And I'm a big believer on the IoT development is much more these vertical markets as opposed to the consumer market. I think that will happen. Some of the big boys will play. A lot of small boys will want to get into it, and girls, I should say, will want to get into it. But there are so many rich verticals that can be matured and shown and created into great businesses. And obviously, they need Brightwolf services and they need Integral services, because if they don't do it smart, and that's what we're talking about, having being close as possible to the data, then they're not going to be successful. And being lean and smart is a way to survive long term. So, and you know, obviously connected via wireless. So I think we can kind of help facilitate all that. So we look forward to the year of 2015, hot little year. But I expect that these two companies here will be the hottest companies in the rectangle.
In the rectangle. Jerry, what do you think? What's your prediction for 15, as long as we're getting into the 15s?
I think these companies are going to grow as well. And I think the wireless center increasing its relevance throughout the state and throughout the region, you know, as a nonprofit promoting jobs, you
great
know, and growing it here.
And how do they get a hold of you guys?
You can contact us at wirelesscenter, all one word, -nc.org, and email at info@wirelesscenter-nc.org.
Well, this was a fun show. Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate all of you coming in and getting us smart about what you do and what the opportunities are out there. Thank you. And this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Wireless Connections.